Welcome to Mount Pleasant Methodist Church in Van Cleve, Mississippi. Thank you for joining us for today's sermon. This is our sermon for March 8th, 2026.
Will you remain standing for the reading of the gospel? And in your bulletin this morning, these words, not all of the scripture, but part of it from John 9. And as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Let me read that again. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that it was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "Now then, how then were your eyes open?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked. "I don't know," he said. They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes were on the Sabbath. And this is part of the word of God for the people of God. And God's people said, you may be seated. I read part of this today because there's a lot there, and it's a big story. And Christy, it fits nicely into the bulletin when we cut it down to 14 or 15 verses. This is a great story because it's about one of the things that Jesus did that we can see, that we can. How many of you ever played in the mud growing up? It will admit it. How many of you ever put spit balls or mud balls together? Let's see, we should be an ever-decreasing number. How many of you ever threw a mud ball at somebody else? Oh, more hands went up than were. How does this happen that there are more people throwing spitballs than there are making spitballs? They won't admit it. It's a sneaky bunch today, I'm telling you. I don't know what we're going to do with y'all. But when I was doing it, you know, you always had somebody that was down in the mud or in the creek bottom or wherever it was, and they were making them and tossing them up, and you usually had teams, and it was usually, you know, this group of guys and gals against this group of guys and gals. Usually younger brothers and sisters were making the spitballs, whatever. I don't know how it worked in your neighborhood, but it was fun. Nobody got hurt, at least not too bad. Occasionally you'd get a rock and a spitball, and that could cause a problem, I guess. Then my grandmother would say, "Don't you know it'll put your eye out?" That was one of the phrases. You ever hear that? Here's a guy who had his eyes put out. No, he didn't. Here's a guy who was born blind. And it raises all sorts of questions. By the way, there are lots of questions in life. I'll never forget hearing this story. Sometimes people come to church with questions. In fact, sometimes the sermon will dictate that there be questions. Sometimes they'll come with a question before the sermon's ever preached, and I've had some of those, and particularly in related to this whole idea of how do we explain things in life? What's our reason, and how do we explain things in life? Particularly, how do we explain bad things? How do we explain a man born blind? And of course, here's where Jesus' disciples are. Well, let me just tell the story. I heard this and I nearly fell out when I heard it, but there was, I don't know who told the story where I heard it. I could have even heard it as far back as college, but there was a famous preacher. In fact, he was a preacher of preachers, a teacher of preachers who had after retiring from teaching in Bible college and seminary, he had gone back to serving a church in retirement. I know how that works. And it was a very large church. It was filled with all sorts of age people. And he said there was one lady who kept coming up, and she kept coming up to him Sunday after Sunday, and she was going to, you could tell she just had that questioning look on her face, and she wanted to ask this minister a question. And so finally, after the third or fourth time, she got her nerve up, and she said, Brother Robinson, and she said, I want to ask you a question. She said, I'm struggling with pride. And he said, tell me about your struggle. She said, I'm struggling with pride. She said, you know, I come to church every Sunday, and I look around at all the other people here, and particularly I look at all the other women, and Brother Robinson, you're just going to pray for me. She said, am I horribly sinful to believe that I'm the nicest looking woman in this church? Dr. Robinson looked at her, and he said, no, ma'am. He said, you're not horribly sinful at all. And she said, oh, thank you. And she said, thank you for giving me the answer. She said, I didn't think I was. She said, oh, you're just horribly wrong. Boy, does it pay to be honest as a preacher. I don't know. But they soon asked him not to come back to that church anymore. The disciples, and later on the Pharisees, if you read this whole passage in chapter 9, and in fact, we are somewhat that way, is that we have questions. So when Jesus sees this man who is born blind, and here's, I guess, how we know it, because he had been that way all his life, and his parents were in the community, and everybody knew him. You know there are people like that in your community. You know there are people around you and in your family. You say, well, he's been that way all his life. He's like his mama, or she's like her daddy, or vice versa. Usually we don't mean that in a very good sense. We mean it in a pejorative sense. So here's what I want to get at today. Here's the question. How'd this happen? Who sinned that this man was born blind? This didn't come from some self-righteous Pharisee. This didn't come from some person who didn't know the Old Testament. This came from his disciples. This came from John, who wrote this gospel, and from Peter, who was his number one man, and from Andrew. This came from people who had been following him for years. But they were stuck. Let me say this. They were blind to what Jesus is trying to get through to them, to the world. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, we preached about this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Finish the sentence. That who's? And then what's the next verse? For God did not come into the world to what? But that the world might be through him. Some of y'all got all of that. Well, that's what Jesus has said to them in this very gospel, maybe 6 months earlier, maybe a year. He had said it to them over and over again. And so here they are stuck or blind to the fact that God did not come into the world to point fingers and judge and say, why'd this happen? How'd this happen? What's the cause and effect of this? It's hard to change people who have in their head that the reason things happen is that somebody sinned. Goodness. Hard for me. We do it all the time. You see, we're full of questions. How'd this happen? Will things ever get back to normal? Remember that? This, by the way, this is the anniversary, if y'all didn't remember it. This is the sixth anniversary. Of anybody know what this is the sixth anniversary of? The declaration that COVID was rampant in our state and we all had to shut down. Remember that? And everybody was asking, and they were asking it this way, will things ever get back to normal? And in fact, some of us were asking, will it get back to normal next week? For about, oh, I don't know, longer than I wanted it to be, for several months, I went to the church building, actually where we were meeting in the little Presbyterian church in Starkville, and I went, and the music person, and sometimes Lynette would go, she'd play the hymns, I'd preach the sermon, we'd have a little service with prayer, did the whole service, and we videoed it and sent it out over our YouTube or Facebook, whatever it was, and people seemed to enjoy it so much that when we started back, they didn't come back. Any of y'all remember that? Any of y'all do that? It's hard to change people when they get stuck. It's hard to, when people don't have an answer, when they don't know, they get nervous. And sometimes they'll make up stuff just to fill in the blanks. See, the disciples are doing that. Who sinned? This man or his parents? By the way, it's very biblical. Can I say it? There's nothing more biblical than this. And the sins of the fathers to the son to the what? To the third and the what? Fourth generation, right? Biblical. Is it kingdom? Maybe some of that Old Testament stuff creeping in that says, hey, this is the way things are. Jesus is saying to us, listen, the world has changed. My kingdom is new. It's coming. And it's not about darkness. It's not about blindness. It's about light. So we have questions. Blindness is a reason, a sign of God's disfavor because some sin, even to the third and fourth generation. All the scholars knew that. You don't have to look at very far into the biblical story to find even well-meaning people who God uses for mighty purposes setting on this to explain the mystery of troubles in life. Go back and look in Genesis. Who sinned that this born blind? They're not horribly sinful. They're just horribly wrong. And let me tell you how it works. Wondering who sin caused this young man to be born blind, Jesus tells the disciple that they are mistaken. I've been to the hospital and I've been in rooms. I've been a chaplain for 9 years. I've been a pastor for over 45 years. I've had all sorts of questions asked me, and a lot of them have to deal with this. How'd this happen? Why did God let this happen? Is this an attack of the devil? What's going on here? And can I tell you something? None of the explanations in the moment make any sense. Amen? None of them. But yet we keep trying. We keep trying to explain it. You see, the most important theme that we'll deal with, if you're by the way, how many of you are reading some of the scriptures that we're getting out to you? I hope you are. You're reading the daily scriptures. And if you read those, you're going to get a lot of the Gospels. You're going to get a lot of the stories of Jesus. And one of the things that I hit in Lent is that Lent is a time of turning to with God. Turning, notice how I said that, turning to with God. Turning to God with God. And turning from fear to faith, from sin to grace, from, get this, from the world to God, from the dark to the light. Henry Nouwen gave us that. And rather than focusing on the sinfulness or the saintliness of others, is to actually turn and pay attention to the forgiveness and the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? There was a great saint in England named G.K. Chesterton. Kind of an academic type. I used to not like him, but the more I read him as I get older, and I get his age, I realize the Times of London had a survey in their paper, and they said the world was horrible. By the way, this is in 1900. The world is horrible. There are wars, and there are famines, and there are earthquakes, and there are all sorts of evil going on in the world. By the way, things weren't much different back then. I contend that the only thing different now is that we get the news quicker and we get more of it. I'm not sure we get it more accurately. Chesterton commented on a survey, and the survey said, please write 30 words or less, an answer to a question that says, what is wrong with the world? And Chesterton, just in his brilliant way, wrote in, he said, I am signed, G.K. Chesterton. We want to look at others. The disciples want to look at others. They want to find reasons beyond themselves. They want to sometimes, and we need a reminder that we're hardly mistaken about this. I used to read a book about the Quakers, by the way. You may have read it, Harmony, Indiana, a great writer. And he wrote in there, and there's the preacher who preaches Sherry in there. And here's one of the great lines he uses. He said, every saint has a past in every sin has forgiveness. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the man born blind can get forgiveness? Do you believe the disciples can get forgiveness? Do you believe that those who are Pharisees later on who are trying to have basically an inquisition and find out what's going on with this Jesus, and they're so mad and they can't forgive Jesus because he forgave on a Sabbath. Do you believe God can even forgive your sins? Let's try this for a second. The man is asked some questions later on by the Pharisees, and they're sitting there, and I can see this, and they're asking him, and they say, now, how did this happen, and what did he do, and tell us about the mud. And by the way, the mud is just incidental. I think the mud is just there so that the man would have faith in Jesus. He knew the mud didn't open his eyes. You know how many washings he had probably tried? You know how many false patent medicines he probably had tried to use? Do you know how many flakes and quakes he had used to try to get his eyes open? Do you know how many different remedies he had tried? Do you know how many times his parents had prayed? He knew what opened his eyes. And he kept talking about Jesus. Well, it's this Jesus. And he did this, and he put mud on, and then there was the water. And they kept asking so many questions. He finally said, do you want to be his disciples too? Ouch. I've been around parents of a blind young man. His name is Eric, and he now is the pastor of the First United Methodist Church over in Popperville. Been there 10 or 12 years. He's now in his, Eric, how long is that old to make Eric? He's in his 50s, late 50s, Lynette. His daddy was a retired fireman in Columbus, and I had just gotten back from seminary, and we were serving the St. Stephen Church, and Gerald came to me one day, and he said, Brother Ron, he was a disabled fireman, had a heart condition, and couldn't do very little of any. In fact, most of the time his wife Dot would drive him around, but Gerald was a small guy, and he became a good friend. I later did his funeral, and Gerald came to my office one day, and Eric was 16 at the time, a junior in high school at Caldwell High School in Columbus, and Gerald said, Brother Ron, he said, Eric's going blind, and I'd heard that since the day I'd gotten there. I don't know exactly what the cause of it was, but he was going blind, and they predicted he would go blind before he reached the age of 20. And Gerald said, Brother Ron, I'm so worried. He said, I don't know what's going to happen. He said, he's going to be lucky to finish high school. He won't be able to have a job. He'll have to be sitting at home. He was just playing that, just, oh, it was awful. And what are we going to do? And how are Dot and I going to handle this? And what are we going to do? And he had what my daddy-in-law said were the poor pitifuls. He had a big dose of them. 5 years later, he is an honor graduate at Mississippi State University, blind by this time, but an honor graduate. Later went to Drew University, got a degree from there and a doctorate from Drew, and now has been on the conference level offices for many years and have been at Popperville for 10 years. And then about 6 months later, Gerald comes to my office. He says, I've thought about it. He's getting through high school okay right now, but he's not ever going to get married. The girls won't look at him. He's blind. He has that funny look, that blind people. This is his daddy saying this. He has this funny look that blind people have, and no one's going to want to date him. He got married. He had two girls, and one of them's getting married in June. But you see, the blind person in the family wasn't Eric. It was Gerald. It was his daddy. Because he couldn't see the possibility of what God could do. How about you? Can you see the possibility of what Jesus can do? Now, let me stop you right there, and you're going to say, wait a minute, Ron, but you don't know. I've had this prayer need in my life, and I've had this situation in my life, and I had this disaster, and I had this illness, or my family member had this happen to them, or on and on and on, and you're saying, but I hadn't seen it yet. We don't know how old the blind man was. We don't know if he was in his 20s or 30s, probably not much more than that. For him to be sitting out at the gate begging, he was grown enough to do that. But let me read you something. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, from John 8. Follow me, Jesus said, and you will have the life full of light. Once we encounter the good news about Jesus Christ, groping around in the darkness is no longer an unfortunate circumstance. It is a choice. 1 John says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not have what is true. We're coming up in a couple of weeks on the great darkness, on Good Friday. In fact, the whole world went dark that afternoon. And earthquakes happened in the veil of the temples, and it was a cataclysmic change in things, and the world got completely dark, but get this, not for just for 3 days. You see, God's purposes in our life are that we have light for living. God's purpose in our life is that we come to see and know that it is Jesus that we need to follow. God's purpose in our life is that we, in our blindness, I heard this story the other day. I don't know. I pick up these little tidbits. Somebody sent it to me and said, this is an interesting thing on blindness, and they sent it to me. There was an ophthalmologist recently that went in to remove a set of bad or defective contact lenses on a rather elderly lady. And as she began to peel one back, she found another one. And then she found another one, and she found another one. Any of y'all ever do this? And she found another one and another one. And there were 28 of them on there. You say, what was wrong with her? She thought she could cure her own blindness. She just kept putting on, and every time she put on another contact, she put on another level of blindness. We can do that. We can think we're improving our spiritual sight and in reality just blinding ourselves. We can say, well, I can do this. I can cure. You see, the man said, I don't know anything. I don't know about the mud. I can't explain the mud. I can't explain what happened. I can't explain whether it was his fingers or the water. He said, all I know, I was blind, but now what? I see. What'd you learn walking in the line? I learned to trust. I learned to trust. This poor blind man has learned to trust. He doesn't trust the finger or the mud. He doesn't try to explain it. He just said, I was blind and now I see. Do you want to follow him too? I was blind, but now I see. Do you want to be his disciples too? I was totally blind and now I see. You see, Jesus is looking for people willing to say, open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him. That's what I want to do. Sometimes, and later in the passage in John, Jesus goes on to say, there are some people who are just spiritually blind. They can't see, not because Jesus doesn't want to open their eyes. They can't see, not because he's not reaching out to touch them. They can't see because they just keep piling on the same old remedy for sin. And they keep piling on the same old remedy for life. And they keep piling on the same old answers. And they think that through cause and effect, and if they keep doing it long enough, they'll be able to see and they'll be able to be in relationship with God. And the truth of the matter is, all we have to do is to reach out and accept his love, his grace, his light, his healing. The disciples said, look, this who sinned? This man. The Pharisee said, who sinned? Bring us your parents so we can figure out who sinned here. We got to know which generation to credit this to. Gerald is saying, my son will never amount to anything. He'll never do anything. You see, all of those people, and we are in the same boat so many times, we fail to see what Jesus has put right in front of us. I didn't do a lot of Greek study when I first wrote this sermon, but I remember what I did do, and here's the part I did do. When it says that the man, that Jesus gives the answer to the Pharisees later on, and they're asking him, how did this all happen, and his disciples. He says, this was not done for any other reason than to show the power of God in this man's life. And you know what it means? It doesn't mean some kind of serendipitous flash out of the lightning out of the sky miracle. It means the everyday work of God in his life. Do you know that that's what God wants to do with you? He wants to take the everyday things of your life and use them to shine light. But he's got to start with you. Are you preoccupied with someone else's sin? With hurts and pains that someone else inflicted on you? Let it go. Are you covered up and burdened down by your own sin? Let it go. For Jesus didn't come into the world to figure out who sinned and why. He came into the world that the world might be saved through him. That's why. And that's you. And that's me. I once was lost. Now I'm found. Blind. But now I see. Blind men sitting by the road. People sitting in church. Preachers preaching sermons. All the same. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we're blind and don't know it. Lord, sometimes we're going blind and we try to prevent it. Lord, sometimes it just simply takes your simple touch to heal us and to open our eyes and to help us to see who we need to be following. And where the light really is coming from. And it's from you. You came into the world that the world might be saved, forgiven, healed. Lord, help us to be that way today. Help us to live that way. Help us to be a church that is not a church of pointing fingers at other people's sins or even our unforgiveness and our own hearts toward ourselves. But Lord, help us to receive with gladness and joy you opening our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our lives to your grace, to your forgiveness, to your eternal life. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and all the honor in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in God's Word today. If this message encouraged or challenged you, share it with someone who needs to hear it. That's part of witnessing boldly. We're so grateful you're part of this global Methodist family. May you go from here filled with the joy of the Lord and the power of His Spirit. Until next Sunday, walk closely with Jesus. God bless you.